From today's gospel reading in Luke chapter 12, Jesus' parable of the rich fool makes us think about our attitude toward worldly possessions. Someone from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" And then Jesus said to them all, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when one is very wealthy." And then Jesus told them this parable. "A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, 'What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest.' And then he thought, 'Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, "You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself." But God will say to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?" This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. Although I have a few months before I retire from this pastorate, I've taken the first tiny steps toward cleaning out my office. After nearly 32 years, that office has accumulated a lot of stuff. By far, the biggest task will be to remove my personal library. Bookshelves line two walls of the office. And as I've told people before, don't be impressed by that. I've read all of some of the books. I've read parts of a few of the books. And I've read none of some of the books. Our congregation's recent seminary graduate, Kathy Hartzell, has accepted some books from my library. Another seminarian in our presbytery will have the chance to take a look and see if she would like to claim any of them for her library. And then there are other things that I have acquired or things that have been given to me across the years. Figurines, crosses, photographs, house plants, a radio, table lamps, a few autographed baseballs, things like that. Some I will take home with me, other things I will find another home for. But looking at all that stuff that I've accumulated over the years made me think about the psychological disorder that is hoarding. Now, most of us wouldn't deserve that diagnosis, but I imagine that some, maybe many of us, have an accumulation of stuff in closets, attics, basements, spare rooms, garages, breezeways, sheds. Maybe some of you have items permanently housed in self-storage units. That's a growing industry in our country, I understand. We have more stuff in our apartments and condos and homes than we can handle. So we add space by renting it elsewhere. You know, that's not too different from the situation we heard about today in the reading from the Gospel of Luke. A rich man, Jesus called him. Not a bad guy, not a dishonest man. Quite simply, his land did well. The riches of this man were honestly acquired. It was legitimate produce of his fields. So just because Jesus labeled him as a rich man, let's not think that Jesus was anti-rich. Jesus wasn't anti-rich. Jesus was anti-greed. Now, how did greed enter this discussion? Because of the rich man's shortcoming. It would seem that the rich man had found security in life in the abundance of his possessions. Yet as the ending of the parable teaches, his security procedures had foolishly failed to take God into consideration. You see, the rich man's shortcoming was that his prayers were to himself. He didn't seek God's guidance for his life. No, he relied on his own resourcefulness. As we heard, the rich man said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." But actually, he did. The rich man did have some place to store his harvest, but he didn't realize it because he thought only of himself, his situation, his desires, his future. In going through one of my bookshelves the other day, I came across a book that a friend loaned me. It's an antique book, 1871 copyright, leather binding, gold leaf pages. Tom's going to give it to his daughter someday. He thought I might enjoy a look at it first. It had a section about this parable, the parable of the rich man. Here's how that author from more than 150 years ago thought Jesus would have responded to the rich man's complaint that he had no place to store his abundant harvest. "No room? Thou hast barns, the stomachs of the needy, the houses of the widows, the mouths of orphans." In other words, the rich man could have stored his abundance not as an addition to his own private collection. He could have stored his abundance as an investment. As an investment in easing the needs of families who must go to bed hungry many nights each month. Investing in the easing the need of those suffering from disease. Investing in easing the vulnerability of orphaned children who deserve a stable home to grow up in. Investing in easing the anxiety of seniors who have no family to lend support when needed. Investing in easing the unsettledness of refugees who long to return home when peace finally smothers the flames of war. Investing in easing the emotional pain that prompts people to become addicted to drugs. Investing in helping those who desire for self-sufficiency, but they must rely on getting the education they need. The rich man could have stored his abundance by investing in the lives of God's children near and far who lack what they need or suffer from undeserved hardships. He could have invested his abundance in what Jesus later describes as treasures in heaven. In the parable, the voice of God declares, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things that you have prepared for yourself?" The rich man's focus on life here and now caused him great anxiety about being separated from all he had built up for himself. But what if he had not merely stored his abundance for his own needs, but also invested in meeting the needs of men and women and children in his midst? He would have what Jesus called an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes in and no moth destroys. Indeed, the rich man would discover that his treasures had preceded him to heaven. You know, the Bible is consistent in the theme that we are given to so that we might give to others. We are blessed so that we might be a blessing. We are loved so that we might love. We are reconciled so that we might reconcile. We are forgiven so that we might forgive. The problem with greed and accumulation is that rich fools, then and now, rich fools forget that blessings are intended to be used to bless others. Now, in case the thought occurred to you, I don't see this story as a condemnation of the wisdom and practicality of estate planning. Disciplined planning, sacrificing now, eases possible stress that could land on your dependents later. But once you've made plans that will provide for yourself, how can you store the abundance that exceeds what you need? In the story, Jesus warns, guard yourselves against all kinds of greed. Greed is the lust to have more than is needed, the grasping after more, boundless grasping. And while we may greedily try to amass things like approval and popularity, influence and power, comfort and ease, well, by far, the kind of greed most prevalent in our culture is the lust for money and the things we can do with it. So to be practical, here are some possible antidotes to the greed of accumulation. Go through your closets and drawers once a year. If you didn't wear a piece of clothing that year, give it away. Consider shared ownership of possessions with your neighbors. I mean, there are tons of things we own which we don't need exclusive use of. I mean, do two homes really need two lawnmowers? Sharing possessions combats accumulation and builds relationships. Or journal a list of all the things you need to live and another list of the things you want for your life. And then commit to purchasing only from the need list for the rest of the year. Or make a list of your monthly budget categories in order of amounts spent on each. And look at how your charitable giving compares with your accumulation line items, clothing, eating out, entertainment, grooming, hobbies. Does that order maybe need to change? Or for the next month, every time you appreciate something that somebody else has, stop to pray for your own contentment with how you have been blessed. Or, don't rent a storage unit. And if you have one, consolidate to only what you can fit in your home. And of course, an obvious area, Christmas shopping starts in a few months if you haven't started already. Declare a tight price limit for family presents, or go with a no-gift Christmas like our church's annual Alternative Christmas Charity Bazaar. Or spend as much sponsoring a local shelter, shelter for people, a shelter for animals. Spend as much for a shelter as you do on gifts. No, our well-fed, sedentary, affluent lifestyle can lead us away from being rich toward God. But the message of Jesus is that we are blessed to be a blessing. Leave the bigger barns to the rich fools of the parables and commit to be better at sharing than at storing. Amen.